Got to give a shout out to the Tulsa Packers I-9 football team. My sons, Luke and Jude, are on the Tulsa Packers, and yours truly is the head coach.
Is this in any way named after The Office?
No. Like Todd Packer? Yeah. No.
Tulsa Packer, Todd Packer. You know,
I did not get to choose the name. That was the name that we were given. It's actually just the Packers. I added Tulsa into it. It's I-9. And so how I-9 works, I love this.
Dude, I also love I-9. My girls just had their first I-9 game on Friday, volleyball.
Oh, sweet. So here's how it works. I love it, especially for big families. You show up 30 minutes before the game, and that's your practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a game. And meanwhile,
your opponent is also showing up and practicing
for the first time.
You know, they're there practicing, you're practicing, and you're going to have a game.
So you show up. So as the coach,
and it's very like, you know, you keep score. They keep score.
Yeah, but it's not super competitive. I mean, it's like,
but it is. It's about learning how to play the game.
Mm-hmm. Not competitive ball.
No. But, oh no.
But it's great for Catholic families because they have big families because it doesn't dominate your life. And
right, it's not 2 days a week and a game
and a game, and you have three kids, so it's every single day of the week. Plus, your weekend is just dominated.
Or trying to figure out how to get three people to three places at the same time.
Right. So as the coach, though, you show up and you don't know who your team is. You just have names. And you don't know the skill set, if they've ever even seen a football before.
Yeah.
So I show up and no one's run plays. We haven't ran, you know, everything is very raw. And so I show up and I'm like, okay, got my team, looking at them like, okay, well, we'll see. And I said, like, we're going to run three plays. These are the three plays we're going to run today. Defense, we're going man-to-man. So you just pick a person, and that's your man, all game.
Is this flag?
Flag football. We're running three offensive plays. We're going to have a run play and two pass plays. Because Luke is the quarterback. So, like, at least I know, and Jude is a receiver. So at least I know, I'm for sure we can at least throw and catch the ball.
They know how to connect.
Yeah. So we'll play one running play, two pass plays. Dude, we won like 49-0. And it was at the end of the first half, I was subbing. Luke and Jude weren't even playing basically the whole time. And at the second half, and I was just rotating any and everybody.
Who wants to be quarterback?
The guy who's normally center, you are the quarterback.
You want to run the ball?
Yeah.
Hey, Chubby.
We played our hearts out, and we did really well. So one thing we did, though, one of the kids that was on our team got hurt right before the game and had to go
before
the game, which is incredible. had to go to the hospital. Had to go to the ER.
Oh, man. So you got serious hurt.
Yeah. I think he dislocated his shoulder or something like that.
Gosh.
And so anyway, I'm the coach. We find this out, and I decided to make a stand as the coach. This is a secular game. I said, everybody gather around. We're going to pray for our teammate. Everybody take a knee.
We're going to pray to Mary.
And so we prayed, we offered up prayer, and then afterwards, you know, I said to make sure, you know, the talk at the end was like, you know, we play hard, we play like we're going to win. When we do, we act like that this isn't our first time. We have great sportsmanship. We tell our parents and grandparents, thank you for showing up and for watching and supporting us. And we keep little Maddox in our prayers, you know, this week. And I wasn't sure how it was going to go, right? It's kind of like one of those, it was like, well, this may not go, I don't know. I may get some parents who pull me aside at the end. No one did. No one pulled me over.
It's like,
but like, I, you know, that's in your mind.
You worry about that. And you know, that's what the other side, like the far extreme on the other side, they want you to be worried about it. Right. Because you've seen those Karens out there.
Yeah.
Who
that are
like,
exhausting.
Yes. And you're just so worried, it's like about meeting one at some point. But the truth is, even the people, like, if you don't believe in God, it's like, hey, the kid got hurt, and we're gonna like say a prayer for him. Like, you're gonna be super, you're gonna be super mad about
just
that. Like,
stand there.
Yeah, most those people are gonna like, this is a nice gesture. Because if you're an atheist, you don't think this is doing anything anyway. It's not certainly not hurting anything. It's like, you know, this is just being a nice gesture. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know. So, like, I do think we should be more bold. You know, we were talking a little bit about the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service.
Ugh.
And one of the things J.D. Vance...
Break my heart.
J.D. Vance talked about how, you know, he's a Christian. He's a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he has publicly talked about Jesus in the last 2 weeks more than his entire career combined.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was one of the things that Charlie Kirk really emboldened him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see that become a thing. You know, if this can be his legacy, first of all, he would love that to be his legacy. I don't think he could. I think he would pick, if you let him, that's what he would say. Because actually, there's videos that basically where he does say this. Like,
I want to be known to be...
courage for my faith, is what he said. Yeah.
Fortitude in my faith. Like, well...
So, you know what? Like, we should do it. And I think that's a great example. You know?
Yeah.
Praying. You know, because
I'm basically a Charlie Kirk.
You mean, like, yeah. What is it? You know, it's like hashtag I am Charlie Kirk, you know? Yeah. Nobody hashtags anymore. I know. Yeah. I don't even know why it's still a thing.
It's not.
No, you can still do it.
Yeah, but it doesn't help you
at all.
It's
stupid.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It's pointless.
Elon has already told us.
Yeah, quit hashtagging.
Doesn't help you.
Yeah, it's just like there are some moments of comedic relief when you're like, you know, hashtag whatever, it's funny, you know.
Anyway,
that's cool. Because you know what? I know what you mean. Like, where you feel nervous about doing it, and like, you know, is this, and you know,
especially because it's people you've never met before in your life.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
Do it anyway.
That's right. We talked about that in another episode. It's like, regardless how you feel, just do it anyway.
Later on, you will be proud of yourself for the courage, even if it doesn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it, you'll regret. I should have done it.
I shouldn't have been a coward.
Like, why didn't I just say a prayer, you know? And like,
yeah.
Especially we're in Oklahoma. This is it's a very Christian area.
Right.
You know, it's the Bible Belt.
Come to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there's going to be a lot of men coming to Oklahoma this week.
Dude,
the Catholic
I
Man Show.
Wait. I'm
this
so
is
excited.
Like, I know we talk about this every year, and for those who have, you know, just started listening to us, or, you know, those who have been listening to us for years, and I apologize for us just walking you through this every year. But this is literally one of my favorite weekends
of the year. Oh, dude, I look for, it's like Christmas and the camp out.
Yeah, it's just like the Catholic Mansion
and
camp out.
I should throw Easter in there too, but.
Yes. And Divine Mercy Sunday, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, it's like, but honestly, I get
Mary's birthday.
I get more excited for the camp out than I do. I mean, like,
you made a claim.
I've disorder in my soul. Okay, I'm still a disordered person. I'm just being honest with you.
You made a claim earlier that you're more excited about Divine Mercy Sunday than Easter.
Well,
so you made that claim.
It is there is a hierarchy of feasts that the Easter feast
is like the highest.
Builds in, and it actually the crescendo is on the eighth day, which is Divine Mercy Sunday. Divine Mercy Sunday ought to be the peak of the Easter feast, that octave of Easter, it's supposed to build, not wane. So as you celebrate Easter, you are supposed to like up, let's amp it up. I know yesterday was crazy. We have to go even crazier.
Let's invite Jim.
Not too soon. Okay. We still, because the next day we have to amp it again.
Kathy.
Yes. Yeah. So
who are both going to be on our pilgrimage as well?
Yes. Yeah, Jim and Kathy.
And we're about to be on that.
Lady Kathy.
Yeah, so we're gonna have an epic month, basically.
Dude.
So anyway, the Catholic Mansion is going to be great. We have like 80 guys that are going to be coming in, flying from all over, from Maine, Georgia, Washington. I didn't even count how many states we have.
Yeah, it's a lot
of
states.
But there are going to be a lot of guys there. We have some really cool things that we're going to be doing that we haven't done before. We have Brandon Sheard coming out, who we've had on the show. Our good friend Matt from North Dakota texted me the other day. He goes, dude, I'm going to get pigs. After listening to that show, I'm going to get pigs. Now, whether or not he does, I don't know. But
I mean, that's a major decision. I don't take it. It's not like, oh yeah, you should just go. Yeah, go out and get pigs. Like, you think it through. But if you're in a position with the right facilities,
and you can,
and the and it's going to fit in with the lifestyle, I think it's you won't regret it. Well, actually, I do think you will regret it. you'll have moments of regret for sure. Actually, and think about that again, because I do a lot. But overall, I'm so happy.
It's a net,
you know,
positive.
Like, by the time once you finish slaughtering that pig and it's in the freezer and you start eating it, you're like, man, this is amazing.
It's a net positive.
So I want to tell you this story.
Okay.
There is the Sight and Sound Theater. Here in the Niles family, we're big fans of the Sight and Sound Theater. They have one in Branson and then one in Pennsylvania. It's a Christian theater. And the one in Branson is incredible. Actually, the two theaters are identical, but they put on biblical plays. And
oh, yeah, yeah. I remember hearing
they're
this.
They're top-notch. So they were doing a live stream recently. You go to the movie theater and you'd watch it. It was live, but they were streaming it to the movie theater. So my family went. I stayed home because I had projects to work on. I was tiling.
Because I had things to do.
And I get this picture of my son. You know what? I'm going to wait. Let's do a cliffhanger here.
Okay.
I want to tell you what happened to my son in the wake of this video, they went to go see Noah. I will tell you, it has nothing to do with Noah. But it's a very funny story.
All right, sounds good. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan. Jim Spencer is here with us. Yes. In the flesh. Jim, you're looking good today, buddy. Don't you think he's looking good, Adam?
I thought he was going to come to the camp out for a day, but he can't do that.
He's going to be out of town.
But you can't have Jim coming to the camp out and the pilgrimage in one year.
It'd be too much. I don't know if, like...
That's too much.
You know how you need a tolerance for things? Like, even things that are, like, really good?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just, like...
Everybody, it would be...
Like, if you've never had coffee...
It'd be ecstatic.
And then you start trying to drink coffee at the level that I drink coffee...
Right.
You're going to... Like, you might go to the hospital. I don't know what would happen to you.
Right.
That's how it is with Jim.
I get it.
So
baby Davy.
They go.
He's not baby anymore.
Yeah, he's five. He's not.
Davy.
I have two babies that are younger than him at this point.
Yeah.
So they go to the theater, you know, and I get this picture of him standing, what looks like he's standing next to a, you know, like they have the arcade.
Okay.
You know, in the theaters. Yeah. He's standing next to him, next to one, with the most forlorn look on his face.
Okay.
And then I read the caption where my sister is laughing hilariously, explaining to me how the machine he's standing next to is the coin, is like the token machine. You know, you put in $5, you get four tokens.
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
No,
that's
$1, you get four tokens.
No. No, dude. The ratio on this one is $5, four tokens.
Thanks, dude, a lot, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama. Like, inflation. Wow. Okay. He had decided... This is where the coins come out. I'm going to reach inside. Except it, like, you get it in and it, like, goes up and he got his arm in there and could not get it out. So he's like, arm is trapped. And he's like, crying. Like, they had to call the fire department. Two fire trucks show up, six firemen to get him out of this coin machine. And they had to like twist it and like, so some firemen were like rotating the machine and others were like picking him up because they decided like, I think if we can like twist him a little bit, right, maybe we can get it out.
Yeah.
And luckily that worked, because if it didn't, they were going to have to cut the machine open with the jaws of life and I was going to have to pay for it. Because apparently the arcade games, they're not actually owned by the theater.
Right.
They lease this, that they rent that right. space to this arcade company, right?
Right.
It's like the guy, the manager who...
Dude, how much would it have been?
I have no idea. I don't know. Oh. But apparently the manager there was super nice and he's like, I don't even have keys to that thing. Like... And this is the one that takes the money. So it's like a vault.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it's not,
it's like Brinks would have to come out to right. get that. Yeah.
It's not like the one of the like games or something. It's like it probably has just screws. You just, right. you know, let's just go get a DeWalt.
This guy's like, listen, I was hired here Thursday. I have no keys. Yeah. I don't know the passwords.
But then, so they free the child. And then they like.
Did he have a handful of coins when he was free?
No.
Oh, that would have been so great.
He's like, I got it. But they like give him a fireman pin and a hat. They put him in the truck, let him honk the horn. You know, the manager gives him four free passes to come back. It's like, whoa. If I was there, I'd have been like, absolutely not.
No, you were in timeout.
The only thing we're doing is you firemen, you're all going to take turns spraying him with the hose.
Yeah.
Okay? Or something.
From 8 feet away.
We're definitely not putting a hat and a pin on him and letting him honk the horn. I would like to honk the horn if that's an option. But this young child is definitely not, we're not, that's not what's happening. But, you know, that's what, when you send... When there's no men around to enforce the thing.
Yeah, that's such a little Niles story. Like, you would have done something like that as a little kid. Like, that is such a little
basically, he's trying
Niles.
To steal. He was trying to... Yes. He's like, oh, I'm going to see if I can reach in there and grab these coins.
Yeah.
For free. That, you know, that's stealing.
And curiosity kills the cat. Like, yeah. You know, he was like, I think I can get my hand up in there.
I'll bet I can get some of those coins out.
Yeah. Gosh, it would have been so cool if you'd had the coins.
You should see the pic. I mean, he's just like standing there, just with this terrible look on his face.
Man.
Super, Father, super know, funny, though.
Parenthood is so great, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, that's one of those embarrassing moments, but you're like also like when he's not in front of him, mm-hmm. you're like going around the corner to like laugh very hard.
Mm-hmm.
At the dumb thing your kid just did. So anyway. Great story.
Love you, Dave.
Yeah. Someday he's gonna like listen to this, but maybe. He'll be like 18 or something.
Yeah.
And
just ask your dad about the time he called 911 at the church.
Oh, we've already told that story. If he's made it to this episode, he's heard that story already.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, because I think we have.
We've definitely told that story.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
Very good.
Anything else?
No, I'm...
Oh, the whiskey, dude. We're drinking a delicious whiskey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
The Scotch Malt Whiskey Society still doesn't sponsor the show. This is a product of, it's from Tomaten Distillery, which is a Highland. It's a...
Tomaten. It sounds like a cinnamon candy.
Yeah, but Tomaten's just like a Highland distillery.
Yeah, but it sounds like cinnamon candy.
Okay. This is a 9-year-old... finished in charred oaks hogshead, really fantastic. It's 59% alcohol, so it is a little warm. Great for fall, winter, even spring or summer, in my opinion. What do you have to say? Do you have anything to say about it? You're the one who typically has more to say about the whiskey. I'm more of like a high level guy. Like, hey, this is about like, you know, let me give you the big feels about this whiskey. And you're the one who's like more of the detail.
No,
I'm expecting some detail.
I don't have a whole lot of detail. It's good, not great. It's very hot and it'd be great.
Would you describe it as very hot?
I think it is hot. Yes.
That's not how I described it.
It would be much better probably with some water added to it. But the notes of oak on the back end of the palate is very nice. It counters the heat of the alcohol because mm-hmm. it is so hot that I enjoy it because it reminds me a little bit of an Ardbeg without the iodine. Like that wood, the hog's head really comes out strong with the oaky taste. So that's how I would describe
it. Very good.
It.
Thank you. That's what I wanted you to do.
Very good. So we're going to talk about Mary today.
Yes, we are going to talk about Mary.
I'm super pumped about this. We just talked about the rosary with the Dominicans, Father Gregory Pine, Father Patrick, the Dominicans. That's kind of a silly way to say it. Like there's only three of them. And those are the ones that we talked to. Father Gregory Pine, Father Patrick Briscoe, Father Joseph Anthony Kress. And we talked about the rosary in that episode. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, go check that out. But one of the things that Father Gregory told me off air, and it was like kind of offhanded, is that he said he knows very few men who still struggle with habitual sin who also still who pray the rosary every day. And he mentioned the importance that Mary had in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, and how much she loved us. And so I was like, yeah, you're spot on. Obviously, I'm not going to go into a debate with Father Gregory Pine because I'm not a fool. Even if I disagreed with him, I'm not going to go into a debate because I'm not a fool. But I did pull something because I remember reading something that I really enjoyed about our Blessed Mother from the Caribou. Father Reginald Garrigou Lagrange. And he said this, and it brought solace and just kind of like it hit with me, so I'll share it with you and get some thoughts here. So he says, it is necessary to pass through dark nights, through pricking thorns and horrible deserts. On the other hand, through the way of Mary, we advanced more gently and calmly. There are found, it is true, great battles to engage in, the great difficulties to overcome, but this good mother comes close to her faithful in such a way that she enlightens them in their darkness, illumines their doubts, sustains them in their battles and difficulties. Indeed, this purest way of finding Jesus Christ is a way of roses and honey in comparison to other ways.
Mm. Yeah, that's very beautiful, very poetically said.
And it just like, I think it triggered like what Father Gregory Pine said, you know, offhand. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've heard something similar to this before. And it reminded me of what Father Garrigou Lagrange said about Mary in that aspect. And it made me just think about just the role that Mary has in our salvation, the role that she plays in our day-to-day lives that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then while I was thinking about that, I was looking at our, you know, in our home, and I was watching my beautiful, gorgeous wife doing things in the home to keep the house running that I would have, if I wouldn't have stopped and looked at what was happening, would have never known she was doing. You know, to keep things in order, to keep things right in the home, the home as an atmosphere to succeed, to excel, to grow in virtue, to be ordered, all those things that she was doing that I don't know about because I'm gone. Right. I'm out of the home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how much our Blessed Mother plays that same role in our lives to order the things prepared for us so that we can be like ready to receive our Lord in the way that he is ready to encounter us.
You know, I think that's a really beautiful analogy just about how she does in fact work in your life for everyone.
Also, candy. I have a candy analogy.
Can't wait to hear it.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. talking about one of our favorite topics this evening, our Blessed Mother. What are you counting for?
I want to give a shout out. I was counting how many godchildren I have. I want to give a shout out to my newest goddaughter.
Okay.
Baby Ruth. You mentioned you had a candy analogy, and it's like triggered something in my brain.
I could tell. Yeah. Sitting there counting with your fingers.
Yeah. My sister and her husband, they got married just last September, and baby Ruth was just born a month ago or so. And
10 months afterwards?
Yeah, it was pretty much. And Pamela and I had the great privilege of being her godparents and praying for her until the day I die, which I do take as a great honor. So anyway, shout out to baby Ruth.
Way to go, baby Ruth.
Yeah, she's very cute.
We love you.
We do. That is the general consensus, is that, yeah.
We do, in fact, love her.
Yeah, exactly. But you made an analogy right there before the end of that last break, which I really like. I've never heard before about, you know, watching your wife, Lady Haley, do this work. And, you know, I was also thinking about all, like, the things that my wife does. I'm sure the men who are listening to this who are married are all going, yes, totally. And that is just, I think it's a really good analogy, something that really I can relate to, about how our Blessed Mother is doing that same thing behind the scenes, constantly praying for you, bringing these petitions to her divine Son. And we know that he does not deny her anything that she asks. But of course, her heart is also in such perfect union with him that she doesn't ask for anything that he doesn't will or desire, right?
Which
so it's a chicken.
Two,
it's like a chicken and the egg sort
Vatican
of thing.
Vatican II affirms, and what is it, Redemptoris Mater, that encyclical, like, or right after Vatican II.
Yeah,
where it talks about, you know, how our Blessed Mother is always seeking, you know, was always seeking the will of of her Son, and how her Son always received her what she desired, or what she asked of him. Because their desires, their wills were so close together. Yeah.
So I just want to make a couple comments, because I know we have a lot of listeners who aren't Catholic, and
which we love you.
Yes, and I'm just thrilled to have them as listeners.
The church would be much better with you in it.
Yeah.
However,
so I want to make a few comments.
We would love for you to come into
just
the Catholic Church,
like to the people who are just less familiar with Marian devotion, because I fully recognize that for people who are not Catholic, this can come off, you know, even scandalous, right? Because you often hear, and there are plenty of Marian prayers or devotions that are done in a poetic or hyperbolic manner, right? That if you just see them, it's like, no, that's not true. You know, you take the Hail Holy Queen, our Mary is referred to as our life.
Yeah, our life, our sweetness, and our hope.
Right, and she's not.
Yeah. I mean,
not on the face of it.
Totally.
But you might say like, oh, my kids are my life.
Right.
You know, you don't actually mean that.
Right.
And it's the same way. But I just want to address this because Mary and devotion to Mary is not, there's nothing essential about it. You know, we honor her because she is the mother of our Savior. You know, she's the Queen Mother, which is a very important office in the Old Testament Davidic kingship, right? That the mother of the king was the queen. And so that's who she is.
Which makes a lot more sense when you know that her title is Queen of Heaven and Earth.
Right. And the reason we rely on her for our prayers is not because she is necessary. It's because the Lord willed it to be that way. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, could have taken on flesh without her.
Mm-hmm.
He could have saved us in an infinite number of ways. He chose this way. He chose, it was his decision to come to us through her. That he is the one who made her the mediator between the divine and the human. That it was Mary who gave him his flesh, right? And so it's not that it had to be that way. It's not that the Lord needed Mary. The Lord, God needs none of us for anything. He chose because he, in his infinite wisdom, foresaw this to be the path that, you know, where he could lay out his divine love for us in the best way. He chose to come to us through one of his creatures. And Mary is a creature. She is only a creature. The space between her and God is an infinite abyss. She is infinitely of less value than her divine son. That being said, she stands at the very highest of all creation because of the great honor and the graces she received in preparation for being the mother of the Savior.
All will call her blessed.
Yeah, all generations will call me blessed. That's right. So I just want to kind of say that as in the beginning.
Okay.
You know, so that, like, this is like such a summary. This is short as I can sum this up. We've done other episodes on Mary, which I encourage people, if you have more questions, to go look to. There's tons of great resources yeah. out there. I mean, but
we're really good though at like short stories long or long story short.
Either
you guys,
one.
You guys get to choose.
Or sometimes both of them are just long.
Right.
Okay, so I'm pulling some. I want to review some of my favorite quotes about Mary. I'm going to be pulling from
Louis de Montfort.
Louis de Montfort is one. That's not the one I'm trying to think of. The Glories of Mary by
Alphonsus Liguori.
Thank you. Gosh, it's late.
I was trying to help you. I know. I just was like, I needed something.
I was looking at you like, come on, read my mind.
Yeah.
You know who it is.
I was hurting.
We talked about this like
I'm really sorry.
Earlier in the day. Yeah. Alphonsus Liguori.
Yeah.
Both fantastic saints. So I'm going to just, Adam, I want to like read this to you.
Okay.
And I want your raw feedback.
Gosh.
Like give me the rawest feedback you can give. Okay.
Okay.
So this is Alphonsus Liguori. Although Mary is under an infinite obligation to her son for having chosen her to be his mother, yet it cannot be denied that the son is under great obligation to her for having given him his humanity.
True.
Gosh, that's next so, thing. That is, gosh, that is raw. Amazingly raw. Correct. Next question. Feel like I'm doing really good.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what you want me to unpack there.
What I love, you know, so like, why would it be this way? You know, the Lord honors his own laws. Okay, so great analogy here is in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which is one of the books in the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis.
Okay.
In this book, they arrive at this island, and on this particular island, there's all these invisible people. There's a wizard on the...
How do they know?
Well, they can hear them and talk to them. And then the people are telling them, like, well, we're invisible.
I did not consider the invisible people still being able to be heard.
And they're kind of scary because they can't see them and they make all these noise. But anyway, one of the girls gets into this wizard's tower and reads from this book that makes things invisible visible. And in this moment... When she does this, Aslan appears.
Oh, the lion.
The lion, who, you know, represents Jesus. And she's astonished to see him and also very happy. And she says, well, you know, why are you here? And she's like, I've always been here. You think I don't obey my own laws? You know, I created this world the way it is. You think I would disobey my own laws about the way I built the world?
Right.
Okay, and so the reason I bring that up is because Jesus is perfectly obedient to his mother. He submits to her perfectly in the way a son ought to submit to his mother. Now, he is the king, right? Mary doesn't tell him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at a petition from her, he denies her nothing that is, if it's in accord with his will.
Yeah, so the Caribou again, Father Gary Lagrange says that the Blessed Mother is a mother to our Lord in two ways. Corporally, since he is flesh of her flesh, and the torch of his human life is kindled in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the work of the Holy Spirit, and two, spiritually, inasmuch as the formal consent of the Virgin was necessary so that the Word might be united in her to our nature and the mystery of the Incarnation to be fulfilled in this way. So both, there's two ways in which she's actually a mother to him, both like physically, like corporally, and also spiritually, which is also the case for our mothers.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's the same. Yeah, I mean, and if you try to deny any of these things, like, oh, well, no.
If your Mariology is off, it's because your Christology is off.
That's exactly right. That's why Mariology is so important, because Mariology is actually only about guarding Christology, okay? And we, you know, in the Catholic Church, we've been around for a long time. We've seen the errors that have tried to come. When you try to deny Mary, as, you know, we give her this title, the Mother of God, which is an important title. When you deny that, you're denying that Jesus is God. And you can't do that.
Arians.
That's right. These are all heresies that have taken, you know, a lot of these titles have come out of, like, you know, there was this heresy, it was really bad. We need to make sure that we teach this clearly about who Christ is and therefore who his mother is.
Agreed.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're talking about Mary today, who I love. I named a daughter after her. Really, all of my daughters are named after her in one way or the other. I have Elizabeth Rose. You know, like, I have found in the Catholic families, the further down the list of children you go, the more you realize, like, bold is the way. Right? You know? Like, how are you guys in the Minahan? How are you feeling about Moses, Elijah, Holy Ghost, Minahan? Because I told that to Haley, and she was like, you know, when I called her, she was like, I told her, like, I have a name for your kid. I think I named your kid. She's like, okay, what is it? And yeah. I told her, it's like, Moses, Elijah, Holy Ghost, Minahan. She was like, oh, I'm going to be honest with you. I really like it. That's an amazing name. It's like, right? Have you guys talked about it?
We have not. No.
Well,
I mean, we actually did talk about you telling her that.
Yeah.
But we've not talked about
Moses, like, Minahan. I mean, it's like, you kidding me?
Dude, this is like, I'm having deja vu from like years ago.
I've been trying for like, since your first kid, to get you to name one of your sons Moses.
Yeah.
He's like a prophet. And Jesus was like a prophet like Moses.
Right.
That I mean, so like, true. He's a big deal, dude.
Oh, I totally agree.
I don't know if you've read the Bible, he's kind of a big deal.
Definitely read the book of Exodus.
And he's like a very humble person. He even says so himself.
He says so himself. Although in all humility.
Although it is possible that line was added later. There are some scholars who think that it was added later, but also maybe it wasn't. So
they're just trying to save him.
Moses, Elijah, Holy Ghost, Minahan. Tell me that doesn't just like, oh, it slaps. Gosh, it slaps. Right? Thank you, Jim. Thank you. But we are talking about Mary. I wanted to hit you with this one, Adam. This is from St. Bernard. Very Marian.
Of
Clairvaux.
Okay.
Because that's how you say
it.
Is
that French?
Yeah, it's French. They don't know how to say stuff. He says that as every mandate of grace that is sent by a king passes by the palace gates, so does every grace that comes from heaven to the world pass through the hands of Mary.
Okay, so this is something that I was trying to get in our episode with Father Gregory Pine and Father Patrick Briscoe when I asked them about the role of Mary here, and I was in the mediatrix of grace, and I kind of like thought I was throwing them a softball on this question, and they didn't bite on it, or like they didn't go the direction I was going to that I was actually wanting them to, and not because a lack of deficiency in their parts, but just like I think they just
That's a double negative. Lack of deficiency.
Or a deficiency. A deficiency.
We should all strive for a lack of deficiency.
That's right. But probably a deficiency in how I worded the question. But my question was really like the idea of this mediatrix of grace, right? That because it has been tested, especially in times recently, of if that is a worthy title for our mother, if that is a title that we should have for her.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan and believer in hierarchy, in the order of love, in the hierarchy of beings, in the hierarchy of orders.
There's a cooperation in all, like, if you look at the way God works with humanity, it's always in a cooperative manner.
In a hierarchy of creation in general. And so I am of the belief that our mother is the mediatrix of all grace, that all grace that comes through our Lord passes through our mother.
Yes, I totally agree.
Into all of
once
humanity.
Again, because this is the way that the Lord willed it to be, that He came to us through her, and that this is the way the Lord comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is still that this is like a perpetual avenue, perpetual medium of
a
His
professional perpetual.
Well, yeah, I mean, sort of. Now, there's another title, which is one of those titles that I mentioned earlier that, I, in my opinion, is just, it's hyperbolic. It's like a poetic, romantic, the mediatrix of salvation. And I think that one's problematic. I don't think I can agree with that on a literal reading. But it is true that she is the new Eve, right? In the fall, you had Adam and Eve. And so in the undoing, you would expect there to once again, we have Jesus, the new Adam. So that's like, well, who's the new Eve? Well, she's right there at the foot of the cross, right? Mm-hmm. So she is certainly participating in salvation, right? Mm-hmm. And she is the one, you could call her that in a way as much as she is the one who brought Christ into the world, right? So in that way, she is a mediatrix of salvation, but
so what does that mean for modern man today? So here's how the mediatrix of grace, here's how I think about it as a guy who is uneducated and doesn't really know a whole lot about theology, and I don't have time to understand all the intricacies of the titles of Mary and
sure,
everything.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that if it is going from ascension to descending, like so from heaven down to earth, that it also can go back from earth up to heaven.
Right.
And so
that ladder.
The ladder, yeah. And so as she is the mediatrix of all grace, I ask her to be the mediatrix of all of my prayers.
Right.
So that she may purify them, sanctify them, and present them to our Lord as a holy offering. That the things that I ask of our Lord, like, because I honestly am not good at prayer. I ask for things, and I pray for things that are not good for my salvation. Not willingly, not knowingly sometimes, not willingly, like, but clearly there is a ulterior motive that I have in prayers for our Lord.
Dear Lord, please give me a 52-foot sea ray. If only...
yes.
50 with 2 400 horsepower outboard motors.
That party boat looks so great.
Dear Lord.
I would evangelize so well on this party boat.
Maybe with like a kegerator right in the middle.
Mm-hmm. But I know I do not pray well because I am a sinful man. I am blinded. My intellect is darkened. And so the things that I think are good for me in reality could not be good for me. I've seen this happen all the time. The philosopher Garth Brooks sang about it in Unanswered Prayers.
Yeah, dude, I can play that on piano.
And so,
because I need to.
How
I need to do it.
I need to do
it's
that
for me.
Yes,
it's part of something I need.
And so, how I attempt to start most of my prayer is that our mother will take this prayer because I'm so bad at it that she would take my prayer and purify it, sanctify it, and present it to the foot of the cross of our Lord, so that it may be a holy offering to him. And the things that I need for my salvation will be presented to him, and the things that are not needed for my salvation, or that will deter them, deter me from my salvation, will be, kind of sloughed off, purified, put away, that not presented to him at all.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Marian hacks, really. I mean, and that's one of them, that offer your prayers to her and say, Mary, purify this, and then present it to your son for me, please, right? Which is very biblical. You see this in the book of Revelation, where the saints are presenting, or the angels are presenting the prayers of the saints mm-hmm. before the altar of the Lord. So this is exactly the way the Lord has set up, you know, the economy of prayer. I don't know if that's a term. I'm kind of making that up, but
TM.
Yeah, I feel like it's a good term.
It has been said, yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's actually the economy of grace is really what.
But I'm talking about the economy of prayer. There's another one that I like to do is as I'm in line going up to communion, I ask Our Lady to give me her heart, that I might love our Lord the way she does, because I know that mine is so inadequate. You know, and here I'm about to, you know, have this moment of I'm about to receive the God of the universe into my body, mm-hmm. which is something I do so casually and flippantly, like 99% of the time.
Lord, don't let it be so.
You know, just because it's something I do frequently, and I even try not to, but I still, it's, can you be too reverent? You can't be, right?
Can a car go too fast?
I mean, yes, it can. That one's easier to answer, I think. But I do. That's my prayer is as I'm in line is like, Mary, give me your heart, so I can love him the way you do. Mm-hmm. And that is just, it really helps. It really does. If you talk to exorcists, they'll tell you that Mary is like the secret weapon against the demons, because she tortures them in a unique way. God is God, right? He is the source of all being. He is the all-powerful, almighty.
I mean, imagine
he who
getting
is.
Like just crushed, but on your head.
Well, right. So when the demons are defeated by God, it's just. However, it drives them insane when they're defeated by a creature.
Insane, especially when they get defeated in the membrane,
right? And humanity on the like the hierarchy of being, like that you were talking about, we're way down compared to the angels on this hierarchy of being, right? And so for them to be defeated by her prayers is just, it just drives them crazy, right? But
created the fall.
That's the way it goes, right? Yeah, she's the one who crushes the head.
The membrane.
I like it. We'll go over a couple other things after the break.
Okay. Hope to see you guys at the Catholic Mentor Campout. If you don't, subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we have a documentary that's going to be happening on the campout. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you want to hit?
I'm just going to throw this at you right now.
Okay.
Favorite Marian typology.
Oh, that's a good one. Probably like the stereotypical Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, that's mine. So I was really hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah. That's probably it.
That one is so important.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that you need to know about. And I think if we were good,
what are the other ones? Judith is one. You talk about Eve.
There's Judith, Judith and Jael.
Yeah.
There's three women in the Old Testament who are referred to as blessed among women.
Right.
Judith and Jael. Jael is she's like so hardcore.
I guess I would love. I do love.
She nails.
Eve,
I think it's Holofernes. Nails his Eve. Head to the ground with a tent stake.
She's epic. I do love Eve, like the undoer of Nott, because like that's kind of like
the new Eve. I mean, like new Eve is also a pretty important typology.
Yeah. Undoer of Knots is where that comes from as well, which I have a very strong devotion to Our Lady Undoer of Knots.
Yes, dude. You know what? That is one of those I have experienced this, and I have heard many, many people say this, and all I can do is agree with them. Every time I have prayed a novena to Our Lady Undoer of Knots, the knots get undid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just what happens.
Yeah.
She just undid some. I mean, they get undone.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful. She's especially not
Our Lady of Crochet.
That was good. That was good. I like it. We should TM. Trademark that. let me just give the quick story of the crushing the heads, because I think it's awesome. So, you know, these three women who are in the Old Testament,
yeah,
who
sure,
are
sure. Yeah,
referred to as blessed among women.
I do like it.
Jael is, you know, she's in the book of Judges. I think it's Holofernes. He's a king opposing, he's like, had been oppressing Israel. Israel decides to get their act together, and they got this guy on the run. And Jael was actually a descendant from Moses's father-in-law. So she wasn't actually
second removed.
Yeah, I mean, it's something like that. So she wasn't actually like an Israelite proper, but was part of this other clan who's sort of adjacent. And so, this other clan had a peace treaty with Holofernes. And so she's like, oh, come over here, hide under this blanket. And so he does. I think he falls asleep, and she goes and gets a tent peg. And these are big tents. You know, these are the tents they live in. So this is probably like a big steel or metal, and takes a mallet and drives it through his head into the ground, which is like, there's a lot of determination here, because at some point you've gone through his head. You know why? You're hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps going into the ground. And so she's described as blessed among women. Then you have Judith, mm-hmm. who does something very similar, it's a very similar situation. You know, a guy on the run, you know, this bad king, gets him drunk, and then she cuts his head off with a sword once he falls asleep. Also described as blessed among women. So you have these women, all of who are crushing the head of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this goes back to in Genesis when, you know, the proto-evangelium, where God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. You will strike at her heel and she will crush your head. And so Mary, obviously that is referring to Mary, who is, you know, the mother of our Lord. She is the one who crushes the woman, who she's called that. And then again at the cross,
woman.
You know, when Jesus looks down at his disciple John and says, behold your mother, woman, behold your son. So it's very important. It's a very important typological lesson.
That's why I said
lesson.
It.
Yeah, no, it's good. But maybe people don't know
You asked me, and so I said,
I'm not talking to you. I'm telling the listeners this story. Adam.
Jim.
I know that you know these stories. But they're really great stories.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of people don't know them. So
check it out. The Bible is awesome.
Yeah, it's like this book we published.
It's actually a bunch of books.
It was about like 1700 years ago. It's called The Bible.
It's actually longer than that.
Yeah, but it was like, it was written. It was going through an editing process for a while. Okay, it's real long. The editors were kind of slow.
Yes.
The official publishing date was.
Let's pause before we say something heretical. Is there anything else you want to bring up?
No.
That was it?
I just think Mary is really great.
You had 2 pages of notes.
Well,
I'm glad I didn't read all of them, because like if you didn't go over any of this stuff.
Let me find. There is actually one in here that I think is really good, that I just think is very beautiful. Okay, here's an interesting one. Let me hit you with this, Adam.
Okay.
Let me get your feedback on this. God the Holy Ghost, being barren in God, that is to say, not producing another divine person, is become fruitful by Mary, whom he has espoused. This is the reason why he, the Holy Ghost, The more he finds Mary, his dear and inseparable spouse in any soul, the more active and mighty he becomes in producing Jesus Christ in that soul, and that soul in Jesus Christ.
Well, I think this goes back to what we were talking about at, in the third segment, where we talked about like the reason why Mariology is so important is because Christology is so important. And yeah. Mariology is so important so that you can get Christology. So, you know, understand it very well. Because the more that the closer that you are to our mother, the more that the Holy Spirit, who is her spouse, can work through you and in you. Which is basically what that says.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, when I first read, the first time I read that,
I
almost gasped when I, that
can,
was.
Can you tell me, can I hear a gasp? Okay. From you?
Yeah. That was
That's
it.
Yours?
That was it.
Wow. You almost did
I
that?
I almost did when I when read
this. I don't think I've ever done that reading something.
Oh, bro. You got to let it hit you.
Is yeah. there?
This is St. Louis de Montfort who said that.
But when tell me another time in which you actually did that?
I'm keeping it secret. Okay. I might reveal those moments to you at the prop, you know, at the fullness of time.
Okay. Other than Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, is there any other time?
You know, when I read the Holy Ghost being barren in God, it was like, what? How dare you say, you know? But then you go on. It's like, all right, I see what you're saying here. That's it. We'll just stop there. We got a lot of the stuff, but this is good. This is good. Anything else? Any final comments you want to leave the audience with regarding Our Lady?
Just as your mom loves you unconditionally, regardless of how you act, regardless of whether or not you know, you do right or wrong, that you can always go to her. And I think that especially as men, there are times in which you are caught in a bad situation and you have this natural inclination to call your mom to talk to her about those. And at times there, when that happens, you actually become emotional because it's raw and you desire, you know that she loves you regardless and you don't have to hide anything. You can be very vulnerable and transparent with her because you know, regardless of what you say to her, she loves you. So too, our Blessed Mother loves you unconditionally and desperately desires you to follow her Son. And even if there are things that are that you feel that are keeping you from Him, that you can't articulate very well, or that you're ashamed of, that you don't think that anybody else understands, that you feel like that you may be the only person that is going through that, that you can't really divulge that information to somebody else because of how much shame that you would have, that she is ready to receive that. And not only is she ready to receive it, but she desires to have that relationship with you, just as your mom desires to have that relationship with you, so that you can become closer to her Son. There are so many times in which in my life where I have felt distant from our Lord through sin, through darkness, through just like my own faults, that I have gone to her and said, Mother, take this and present it to our Lord, because you know I want to love Him and I can't love Him the way I need to love Him. And it has changed my spiritual life insofar as that it has helped me to accept suffering more, to accept and understand suffering more, because she knows suffering more than any of us standing at the foot of the cross. And it has caused me to be able to know that regardless of how sinful I am, how stupid I am, that I can always go to her so that I can go to her Son. So I just say, like, shame is something that we all hold deep within us, and we're not willing to talk about it because we are so afraid of, like, how other people will think of us. But just as your mother is hopefully one who would love you unconditionally regardless of how you have acted, so too is our mother of God loving you unconditionally regardless of how you've acted, so that you can become a saint.
Yeah, that was great. The only thing I would say is just, I just really want to encourage people to, if this is something you haven't done already, consider making a total consecration to Our Lady. We've been talking a little bit about St. Louis de Montfort. This is one of the things that he's really known for, is putting together this really beautiful devotion. It's a lifelong devotion where you consecrate yourself as a slave of Christ through Our Lady, a slave of love, that you might make every act of your day, every day of your life, every breath that you take, might be in service to him through her most perfect hands, right? So if that's not something that you have done, this is a time. This is the time to do it. It's absolutely something that has changed my life when I did it. My whole prayer life changed. So it's something I would highly encourage. God bless you all. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.